Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to another episode of Ever Be. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today, I've got a dear friend, Annie Powell, on the podcast today. So welcome to Ever Be, Annie.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Can you share a little bit about who you are and what you do so our listeners can get to know you?
Sure. My name is Annie Powell, as you just said, and I run a ministry called Camp Voitiva. Here in the Colorado Mountains. And it's like if Outward Bound and maybe a residential summer camp that you can imagine or think of in your mind had a baby, that's what Camp Voitiva is. So we're like a wilderness expedition adventure summer camp.
Yes. And I heard about you guys because Trey went through your camp and a lot of the Wagners or all the Wagner kids went through your camp. So the Wagners are such a big fan of you guys. And I remember when I first met them and they were telling me that, you know, they were going to camp and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Like, I went to a summer camp once and they're like, yeah, well, we sleep in hammocks. And I was like, oh, this is like hardcore outdoor camp. Which is so cool. And I've just loved hearing about some of their favorite moments and the Mass on the Meadow and just like the ways that you so beautifully integrate the Catholic faith into outdoor wilderness activities. So cool.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's been a great joy to have the Wagners, all of them, come through and seeing marriages formed there and all the
Yes.
It's incredible. And it's incredible to, like you said, to integrate the Catholic faith into this wilderness experience and see God in all things and especially in the beauty of his creation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, before we jump into our convo, where I want to hear more about like how this came about and your dreams and how God played a role in all of that, let's kick it off with our Ever Be Moment segment. Do you have an Ever Be Moment lately?
Yes, I do. When I saw that question, I was like, I love this. So this was a very big week in the Powell household. We had our youngest turn 9, and it was her golden birthday because she was 9 on the 9th. And as you know, all of our children were adopted. And so for me, birthdays are like a huge thing. I want my kids to know they are so treasured, so preferred, so meant to be in this world. And so a birthday celebration is just it's a big deal in our house. So I remember like going to sleep being like, okay, I hope tomorrow we can just shower her with so much love and make it so special and have her just know how special she is. And it was just such a beautiful day. And I have teenagers in the house too, and that's always, you never know where the moods are going to be or where where their life is going to take them. They're so busy.
Yeah.
And it was just so lovely. We had a great family breakfast of crepes. We have this like tradition in the mornings. And then in the evening, even though we had play practice and sacramental prep, we had all these things in the evening. It was just a Monday night. Everyone came together. The teenagers drove in. We all met up in Boulder and just had the most lovely meal together where the big kids shared like their favorite Evie memory and their favorite moment of when she was born and when she was little and what it was to like, and because they were 8 and 6, so they have vivid memories of when she came into our lives. And so it was just so special. I remember just sitting there being like, thank you, Lord, for this sacred moment. What a gift.
That is so beautiful. I love the thought of the older kids like sharing their favorite moments. How beautiful, even as a sibling, to know like I'm so loved by my parents, but I'm also so loved by my siblings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. What was your moment?
Thank you for asking. Yes. Yeah. So last night I had Bible study here at my house. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the gals shared has stuck with me all morning and I love it and I wanted to share it. So she said it was something that her therapist told her once in a meeting that gave me a lot of perspective about our relationship with God. So she was sharing with us, like, imagine yourself as a toddler playing in a sandbox
And there's like the little excavator and the construction toys with the sand. You're pushing around the sand and everything. You're just like happy playing in the sandbox because you know what to do with these toys. Like, you know how to play in the sandbox. And then imagine taking this little toddler and then taking him out of the sandbox and putting them in a real construction zone with real tractors and real big equipment. Yeah. And like, this toddler now wouldn't know what to do, like wouldn't know how to handle these tractors and the equipment. And it would be too big of a job to know how to handle it. And she's like, the construction zone, that's God's job. That's God's job to know how to move the equipment and where to move the tractors and where to move the sand and how to build the homes. And your job is to stay in the sandbox and just enjoy and play in the sandbox. And with what the Lord's giving you in that moment, enjoy those blessings as a child. Yeah. And don't worry about like how the whole neighborhood's going to get built and how to use the big equipment. And so it was just a beautiful just reflection for me, especially as someone who's like constantly trying to tell God, like, my plan is so good. If you would just give me a chance, I can pitch you my five-year plan. And God's probably like, just, can you play in the sandbox, Mari? Like, let me build your life. Like, let me do it.
Wow. So beautiful.
So yeah. So I hope that gives everybody something to pray with this week. Let's dive in though. Can you just share a little bit about your story of dreaming big, starting Camp Wotewa? How did this even come about?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. Sometimes I look back and I think just what a grace the whole thing was, from finding this incredible youth group in high school to having great mentors. But when I was 15, I went to this, imagine like the Focus Seek conference, but just for high schoolers.
Okay.
That's what it was. So I was at this fancy hotel and it was so much fun. I was with all my friends. And the speaker, he challenged everybody. He said, I want you to write a mission statement for your life, because if you don't know where you're going, you're going to get lost.
True.
So, yeah. So I was like, okay, mission statement. And he was like, now go. Like, go right now. Go up to your room or go somewhere around this hotel. It wasn't Catholic, so it wasn't like a chapel we could go to or anything like that. But he said, go in and write a mission statement for your life. So I remember like taking my red notebook, that was my journal at the time. And I remember writing like, mission statement. What is my mission statement? I don't know what a mission statement is. And then I remember Joy, who was a young mom who was helping out at our youth group. And she was a very committed mentor. And she would talk about how the Lord will speak through the desires of our heart. That's in scripture, right? Mm-hmm. But at the time, I didn't know it was scripture. I just knew it was Joy. So I remember thinking, okay, Lord, you'll speak the desires of my heart. So what do I love? Okay, Lord, I love you. I was really blessed from a very small age to just have faith in the Lord and just to have a relationship with Jesus. And being Catholic in Chicago at the time that I was, there just really wasn't Catholic youth groups. There wasn't the things that we know today of like a Catholic youth experience. Like, that just wasn't what it was growing up in Chicago when I did. Mm-hmm. So I was at this really vibrant Protestant youth group where all my friends were. And I just got to know the Lord like in a really powerful way through scripture and just a really robust relationship with him. So I was like, okay, Lord, I love you. I love bringing people to you in this youth group. We were very evangelical. Every kid got an invite to youth group. We're like, you're going to love youth group. You're going to love youth group. Come on. And we invite everybody. And it was very welcoming, very wonderful experience. So I was like, I love bringing people to you. And I loved my summer camp experience that I got to go to. I went to two different camps, both in Illinois, both very different. But I loved my summer camp experience. And then I loved creation. Now, I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago, which is much more urban than suburban. The forest preserves weren't exactly like safe places to go hike alone or things like that. So it wasn't really Chicago that instilled that love of creation. I ached for it there, but it was my family every summer taking a road trip out to Colorado. So pack up that minivan, stay at the YMCA of the Rockies for 2 weeks. My dad hiked like everything in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I just loved creation. It spoke to my heart in such a deep and powerful way. And so I looked at that list, those four things, and I was like, well, Lord, that's it. That's what I want to do. It was like the Holy Spirit was like, let's play connect the dots, right? Just like, let's pull this off. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I want to bring people to you through creation in a summer camp setting. And it was so clear, like so abundantly clear that that's what I was supposed to do. And I was 15.
So yeah, you were 15 and you had this kind of clarity. That's a miracle.
And it reminds me how much the Lord speaks to us at all ages. I think sometimes we're like, well, when you grow up, God will show you this. But really, I mean, I was just reading from the book of Samuel today. Like, my goodness, like Samuel was so young when he first heard the Lord. Like, he's speaking to us at all stages of our life. And I happen to be blessed enough to have that profound moment at 15. But what do you do with that? Yeah. What do you do with that big dream? So I felt like the Lord said, just when people ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? Just tell them. Just tell them that dream. Which was interesting because that's when I learned that a lot of people don't know how to dream. People would say to me, oh, well, they'd come to me with all the problems, right? Like, well, gosh, how are you going to do that and have kids? How are you going to do that and get married? I mean, where's the land even going to be? What? And I was like, I don't know.
Don't crush my dreams.
Right, exactly. You can't crack my dreams. Like, I just know that the Lord gave me that step and I needed to follow that one thing and then he would reveal the rest over time.
Yeah, I don't relate to the exact clarity at 15, but I definitely relate to sharing dreams that I have and encountering fear on the other end and encountering people's kind of like hesitation and apprehensiveness towards big dreams. I find that a lot of people struggle to even dream big in the first place at all and maybe even just take their dreams seriously out of fear or disbelief that it could actually happen to them. So what advice would you give to somebody who feels that way?
I think we might feel that way out of this fear of disappointment, right? Like if I dream big and then it doesn't happen, then I'm just going to be disappointed. And then maybe that means that God wasn't really speaking to me in the first place. Or maybe that means that God isn't even real if he doesn't fulfill that. So I think for a lot of us, first it's coming to that, like, what is this dream, right? Like, I'm going to sit with that dream. I'm going to pray with that dream and say, okay, Lord, like, if you want this to happen, or if you even, sometimes it's just that he wants us to dream it because it takes us to this, it's like a launching pad for something else. And so it's like being faithful to the dreams that God has for you. It's important. It's an important part of our walk. But I would say believing in yourself and believing in God, believing that God can do big things, really believing that, and believing that you can do big things. I think as women, we so often like poo-poo our gifts and talents, or we just minimize what we're bringing. And to recognize that God takes our loaves and our fishes and he multiplies it. So yes, maybe it's not this huge thing that we're bringing, but it's a lot bigger than we think. And it's also a really important thing that we're bringing. I was actually just reading something from JP2 in his letter to women and just talking about the new feminism. And he talked about in some of this commentary on feminism, or on just women rather, not feminism, but on women. And he talked about how when women are not allowed to be fully themselves, the world experiences a spiritual impoverishment. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of us listening to our dreams is us being fully ourselves, because I firmly believe those dreams are from the Lord. I don't think that those are just dreams from us. And they can be, right? So that's what we have to discern. We have to take that to prayer. Like, is that something I was just really inspired by, or is that actually a dream for me? Mm-hmm. But I think, believing in God, believing in his bigness, believing in what you are able to bring to the world through God's grace, through God's working in you.
Yeah.
But you can do big things when God is behind you and God is doing that through you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump back into your story if there's more. So we left off with you were starting your share your dream with people and encountering all the obstacles.
Oh, yeah. All the obstacles. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember being so discouraged by that, being frustrated by that, actually. I don't know if truly discouraged is the right word, but being really frustrated by that and thinking, well, God's bigger than all of that. God will figure out the plan. God's going to figure out, like, the husband, the children. Maybe I'm not called to be married. I was, like, very comfortable, even though I really wanted to get married. I was really comfortable that maybe the Lord had a plan that just looked different than whatever was saying it had to look like. And so I remember as people would share those, their own fears, I would suppose, or their own, like, grown-up things like, well, how are you going to do this? And how are you going to do this? Mm-hmm. And they're all really valid points. But I think what I came to at that young age of 15, 16, 17, as I was going through that was like, God, you're so big. You can figure all of that out. You can figure out the details. You can do the whole construction zone. I'm just going to focus in on what you've given me and what I'm supposed to do here. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that really God had all of those details. God had all of that. He had all of those pieces figured out. I just had to be diligent to what he was asking of me, like, in that moment, and of me for how I was going to follow that dream, like, today or the next day. And so when it came time to look for colleges, I remember thinking, okay, what should I major in? And it was really lovely because I remember thinking, well, maybe the summer camp world would say I should major in, like, recreation or leisure studies or things like that. And my mom really helped guide me to an education major, which I thought was really good. Like, how do we learn? How do we grow? How do we develop? Mm-hmm. So school for elementary education and then middle school education. And then in my time, again, being faithful to, like, the next step, in my time at University of Illinois, there was this great ministry called Focus. And they came my junior year and started a Bible study. And then I was in that Bible study and I would tell my missionaries about the dream that I had. And they said, wow, like, that's so beautiful. That's so incredible that God would give you that dream. I wonder what he's going to do with that. So people of faith, women of faith who have been dreaming with the Lord as well. And they're saying, not like, how are you going to figure all this out? They're saying, wow, I wonder how the Lord is going to keep revealing that to you step by step. And then I know, isn't that amazing? And the way we can truth to each other as sisters, it's so powerful. And so then I joined Focus as a missionary. And I remember my Focus missionary, who I had in college, say, you need to tell Curtis about this dream. Founder Focus, right? Like, right. He's that guy. And they're like, you need to tell Curtis about this dream. You need to tell him what you're thinking, because maybe there's some alliance here, some collaboration with Focus that could work. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, who am I? I am now 22 years old.
Yeah.
And who am I to, like, walk up to this man who started Focus and say, hey, I have this dream. You know, what do you think? And it was through their encouragement that I did. I presented that to Focus. But before I say that, I want to talk about my very first year in Focus, because this was a really cool moment. So here I was, just getting to know all the other missionaries. And I would tell people as we would share what we wanted to do when we left Focus, I would talk about this camp that I wanted to have. And now the one person I really hadn't told that to was my now husband, Scott. And we were getting to know each other. We were becoming really good friends. And he and I are just sitting there talking, I don't know, even about what. And he said, you know, something I've always wanted to do is have, like, this, like, Catholic whitewater adventure type program and, like, teach people about God through rafting. And I was like, oh my goodness.
You're like, you're kidding me. That's perfect.
Right. And it's one of those moments where as a girl internally, you might be like, oh my goodness,
I'm going to marry this man.
Marry you. And luckily I had, like, a shred of prudence and said nothing. But I also was so awkward. I was like, I have to get out of here. I have to walk away. Like, this is, like, too much for me to handle right now. Because yeah. You aren't dating your first year of Focus. And
oh, right.
You're really so faithful to the dating fast. Yeah. But it was so clear we liked each other. It was just kind of obvious. So Yeah. So then I pitched it to Curtis the next year. And he's like, Annie, this is a fantastic idea. Like, go figure this out. I want you to go to graduate school. I want you to write the program. And then we can see about maybe focus helping you launch this, being like a parent nonprofit, if you will, for a moment as you launch this. Yeah.
Today's podcast episode is sponsored by Camp Wetiwa, a Catholic adventure program located in the beautiful wilderness of the Colorado Rockies. Camp Wetiwa believes that adventure experiences can be one of the most powerful tools for spiritual growth. Everything they do at camp is intentionally designed to bring each camper into a closer relationship with God. They want kids to have amazing adventure experiences as well as faithful Catholic formation together. In other words, they use the adventure experiences to teach about the faith, with Mass every day, adoration, confession, as well as things like campfires, mountaineering, rock climbing, whitewater rafting, and an incredible staff of college-aged mentors that are on fire for their faith, Camp Wetiwa is helping kids experience life to the full. At camp, they sleep in teepees or tents, not cabins. Campers experience the raw beauty and power of creation because, as their namesake, Pope St. John Paul once said, our very contact with nature has a deep restorative power. Through unplugging from technology, as well as the noise and lies of the world, Camp Wetiwa strives to remind young people of their true identity and lead them into a joyful and transformative relationship with Jesus Christ in His church. Check out Camp Wetiwa's programs for middle schoolers, high schoolers, and even adults at www.camp-w.com. Sign up today for a chance to experience life to the full at Camp Wetiwa this summer.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. And that's the story where you hear about all the things that worked out. Right. But what I'm not telling, and what we could have a whole nother time talking about, is all of the times where it felt like the door was closing, all of the times where it felt like I got so close to something and then it just fell apart and it was a no for the Lord. And so looking back, it's almost like when you get to the top of a mountain here in Colorado, right? We have our lovely 14ers or 13ers, whatever you're hiking, and you're doing these crazy switchbacks and you don't really understand how it makes sense to go so far one way, then so far the other way until you get to the top of the mountain. And then when you look at the top of the mountain, you see that that one switchback helped you avoid like the cliffside. And you see that that other switchback helped you avoid like the steepest climb ever and made it much more gradual and doable. Mm-hmm. And so you see all that from the top, but you don't really see it when you're going through it. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of moments where I felt like this is never going to happen. This is just, I don't understand even what you're doing, Lord. I'm having just a lot of doubts about this. Not that he would do it, not that he would be faithful, but how he was going to do it and how it was going to come to be. And maybe it was going to be, you know, when I was 40 and not in the younger years that I was hoping it was going to happen. But then I look back and I'm like, wow, it actually happened pretty fast. Actually, it was exactly how it was supposed to be. And thank God those doors closed. Thank God the doors closed that did. Otherwise, Camp Wetiwa would look totally different and not be what God wanted it to be.
I love what you're saying about the switchbacks. That is such a great visual. And I feel like so often in our walk with God, we're like, what are you doing? Like, why didn't you answer this prayer? Like, how did I end up here? Or why did you close this door? And it seems so confusing sometimes, even when you're trying to be faithful and truly say yes to the Lord and following in His plan. I mean, we've had stuff like that recently where we're like, we feel like that God's calling us here, and we walk through it. And then right as we're about to walk in through the door is closed. And we're like, was that not your plan for us, Lord? Like, we like, what? And so I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. Like, how do you hold like both the really big dreams and those desires on our hearts together with like God's ultimate plan for our life, right? Like, we're not saying that they're completely different or completely separated, because if we believe it's true that the desires of our heart were placed there by God Himself, then there is an alignment with like our dreams and God's plan. But how do we navigate like chasing our dreams while also like being open to God's plan and navigating His plan at the same time?
I think that we have to remember dreams can just be that launching off pad again for something else. So I think that sometimes the dream like takes us to the next thing that God has for us, but it might not necessarily be that like that dream was the end point. And so I think about even with Camp Wetiwa, when I first had the dream of the concept, it looked so different than what it looks like today. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is because of different things that happened, different, honestly, closed doors. But it was really the building of a foundation for what camp was going to be. And I think of our own lives. And, you know, one like pretty big one for us is, and I think a lot of us women, we have a dream of motherhood. And I think for Scott and I, we were dreaming of having our family. And, you know, 3 years into our marriage, we weren't pregnant. Mm-hmm. And there was reasons, right? There was reasons for that. Mm-hmm. We thought. And then the Lord led us into the world of adoption. Mm-hmm. And wow. Like, so then I realized, like, my dream for motherhood and my dream for pregnancy, even to care for a child from the very beginning, it had to get reshaped, right? Like, I was praying for my child that I was carrying in my heart. I was praying for all of these things that had nothing to do with me biologically giving to them in that way. I would say I give all of myself all of the time to my kids. And it's but it's just different. It's just different than how I dreamed it was going to look. And yet it's so beautiful. So I think that the Lord places dreams in our heart and then they're fulfilled oftentimes in different ways than we imagine. Mm-hmm. But it's always in the best way. Like, it's the way that the Lord has imagined for us that's way better than what we could have imagined.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's so beautiful and such an element of surrender that has to play into that total trust of the Lord. And when you start seeing, like, taking the left turn you didn't expect in your life to trust, like, okay, like, I'm trusting you, Lord, that, like, your plan's better because I didn't see it going this way and I didn't dream of it going this way. But in the end, we just have to trust that, like, if God is a good, loving Father, then the things that He wants for us are good for us. And given He is God, the omnipotent, all-loving, all-knowing creator of the universe, we should be able to trust Him more than we trust ourselves. And it's actually, like, so much harder to do than to just say it. I think when we say it that way, it becomes pretty clear, like, wow, why don't we trust God? Like, He is all He is all knowing. He made everything we can see and sense and touch and feel. And we're just, like, finite human beings. How come I trust myself more than I trust God? Right. But it is harder to, like, actually put into play. And surrender, I feel like, plays such a big part in this, like, dreaming big and yet holding God's plan for us. And I've probably shared this on a podcast episode in the past, and I share it all the time with my women I'm walking with, because it's something my mom has taught us growing up ever since we were little, that God answers every single one of our prayers. And a lot of times we hear, like, oh, like, this prayer isn't answered yet. But that's not true. God answers every single one of our prayers. He doesn't leave us hanging, and He just answers it in one of three ways. He either says yes, and He answers it the way that you asked for, or He says yes, but not yet. Like, in my time, I will fulfill that. Or no, I have something better for you. And so it's never just like a neglect. It's never just a no. It's never just like you don't deserve it or I'm withholding from you, right? It's always like if the answer is not what you thought it would be, it's always a no, but I have something better.
Right. A no for a greater yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you might have chatted about this a little bit already with the story, but have you ever had the experience where you had a dream or plan that you thought was really clear what you were supposed to do, but then maybe God, like, redirected it or reshaped it in a way you didn't expect?
I mean, yeah, I think that happens all the time. I think all we can do is be faithful to, like, what God is asking us in that moment. And yeah, I can think of even things in camp where I'm like, oh, we need to do this and start this new program. And it's, like, so perfect in my mind. And it's going to look like this and be executed like this. And this is going to be the fruit. And we try it. And it's like, oh, that's not what kids are wanting right now. Or that's not what families are able to do because of busy sports schedules. And it's okay, because I think it's okay to say, like, well, that just, it was a worthy effort. It was important to try it. And then you learn so much in the trying of something and the evaluating of something. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, that's not how it's supposed to be. So now what have we learned from this? How can we take that to a new a new direction and a new initiative or a new way of doing something. So
yeah,
recognize that everything that we do, whether it's wildly successful or a huge failure, it's something that we can just learn so much from. It's something that we can really, that takes us to our next starting point. And the next start, it's like, you know, again, climbing a mountain, it's like, you're still like at the next level. You're still going up and up and up.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's just a journey. Like, it's just a journey. And like, it takes time to get to the top of the mountain, and it's not a straight shot. And we're going to take turns we don't know that we're going to take. So no, that's great. Yeah. What advice would you give to someone that wants to take their dreams into a reality? How can they actually begin to work to take it there? Especially if, you know, this person has that fear or that disbelief that they could ever do something big.
Take it to prayer. And like, in a very specific way, I would say, bring your journal and write it out. For a lot of years, I just wrote out the dream that I had. And I tried to imagine like what a day at camp would feel like and what I wanted students to walk away with. And I would just write. And so I think there's a lot of power to just sitting and dreaming. So imagine it's like, you know, now we do things in like a board meeting and, you know, there's a boardroom and a whiteboard and everyone's like throwing out ideas. Well, this is like your time to do that, but like just with the Lord. Like the Lord is your board.
Yeah.
Well, really, he's the head of the board. He's the chairman. But he's like, hey, let's be creative here. He's giving you the dream, and it's you just receiving it and writing it down and just being like, well, what about this, Lord? And and I think one that is really nice is just to think of the essence of that dream. Like, what is it that you want? Why do you want it? Mm-hmm. What is it going to do for you? What is it going to do for the world? How might it please the Lord? But always in these prayers, anytime we're praying for any reason, we're trying to align our will with God's will. And we're trying to want what he wants for us, even when that's tremendously difficult, even when there's an element of suffering in that. We want what he wants because he, again, sees that whole picture. He sees the fullness of what he wants for us and what he wants for the world. So for us to ask God, you know, please align my will with your will as we sit in this dreaming session. And just to trust again that God has a way of fulfilling our dreams. And it might not be the way we think the dream is going to be fulfilled, but it will always be fulfilled. It will always be something that fills our heart in a way that is beautiful and incredible, and it's just in his way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree with all that. And some of my favorite moments in prayer are those dream sessions with the Lord, mm-hmm. where he gives me just that freedom to be like, share with me what's on your heart, right? Like, what can we do together? How can we work together to make these things come to life? And then I think a little bit more practically, I think where people really get stuck is practicals. Like, I think like they might be able to dream, but then they're like, but I don't even, you know, like, how would I even get there? And they think of all those adult obstacles, right, that you heard when you started sharing your dream. It's like, well, I'd have to find the land, and I got to find someone to fund it, or how am I going to raise money, or how am I going to build a camp? Like, all these practical things. So my advice for people would be, start writing down those practical things. Even if you're not going to act on them yet, just actually write a list. Okay, this is my big dream. What would the steps be to get from point A to point B? And slowly over time, like, actually chip away at them. A lot of people ask us, like, how did you start West Coast Catholic? How did you grow this amazing brand? I want to do something similar. And we're like, Google. It's like crazy, but it's like, we Googled everything. We were in college. We didn't know anything. Both of our dads are entrepreneurs. So we had like an entrepreneur, like, you know, mentor kind of relationship with our parents, but they didn't do what we did. So they didn't have the answers to exactly what we did. We had to go Google and figure it out and write the plans and learn to tackle them and try and fail and try and fail until something worked. So even on a very practical level, I encourage you guys to do that as well.
Yeah. And one thing I learned in graduate school studies is one of the things I did is I went to school for adventure education.
Yeah.
And one of the taglines was, let your community be your classroom.
Mm.
And so just like, add to everything you're saying. It's like, who can you go have coffee with?
Yeah.
And just ask them.
Network.
Who can learn something from? And the more people you tell what you're wanting to do, the more people might say, well, hey, I kind of want to do something similar. Maybe we should come together on that project. Or maybe I'm introduce you to so-and-so because so-and-so also has had a similar dream. Or it's hard though, right? That's vulnerable. You got to put yourself out there and you have to speak that dream out loud, and knowing that by speaking it, you're like letting everyone know you want it, and then maybe it wouldn't happen, right? We have that fear of disappointment, but just to stay so focused in on that and be like, I'm just going to keep talking to people. I'm going to keep writing things down, making it happen, and then seeing where Lord opens doors and where he closes them.
Yeah, that was so helpful. That is such good advice. Let's talk about the dream of becoming saints. As Catholics, that like should be a dream that's on our hearts, right? Like, I think a lot of the times we think of saints and we think those are the canonized saints, the people who are very well known in the church, who have great devotions and have contributed in great ways to the church overall. And we recognize them in that way. But the truth is, anybody in heaven is a saint. And our goal should be to be with Jesus forever in heaven. Like, that's what we want. And so therefore, we can say that all of our dreams should be to be a saint. And so how do you feel like we can become saints in an ordinary modern life, in the midst of our daily life, our family, our work, our relationships, social media? I feel like the task or the dream of becoming a saint, sometimes we feel like is really intimidating when you just see like our ordinary life. And we just think like, oh, we're not St. Faustina, you know, we're not JP2. Like, how can we kind of dream with that and become saints in our ordinary life?
Well, I think we also have to be sure that we aren't confusing like sainthood with perfectionism, right? That to be a saint is, like you just said, to be in heaven with Jesus someday. And that's what all of us want, no matter where we are on our path. And I'd like to think of St. Faustina and JP2 and think, well, they were just faithful to the daily invitation of the Lord. And that's it. Now, their invitations were really big. But all of us are given really beautiful invitations every single day. And so how are we faithful to that invitation to sit with him in prayer, that invitation to seek his mercy in the confessional, and his invitation to follow the dreams that he has for us. And so I think it's just about being faithful to the little moments and letting him into every part of who we are. One of the things we talk about at Camp Wojtyła is that sainthood it's not easy, but it's simple. The whole concept is, again, we're not meant to be perfect. We don't have to live these perfect lives. We have to live these faithful lives connected all the time to the Lord. And so letting every moment of every day be a time where Jesus is in your life, where Jesus is speaking to you he's always speaking to you, but where we're listening. And so listening to him and what he's trying to teach us in everything that we do, not just our prayer time, which is our set aside, very sacred, special time with him, but he's speaking to us, you know, whatever state you are in life, right? If you're in high school, he's speaking to you during your high school day. He's speaking to me during my work day and during my time with the kids. And he's speaking to me all the time. So it's like listening all the time to what he's trying to say, you know, where he's trying to move my heart and where he's trying to invite me into, you know, different with him.
I love that. Another thing that comes to mind too is when you said, you know, sainthood and holiness is not about perfection. It's really that faithfulness in our efforts. God knows we're human, like we're on earth. So therefore we're not saints in heaven yet, right? Like we're not sinless and he knows our humanity. And something I heard recently, Father Boniface in his book, Personal Prayer, he talks about how God expects us to pray as humans. He doesn't expect us to pray as angels because we're not angels. He created us as humans. He knows our human limitations and he expects us to do that. And so when we get distracted or like our mind wanders or, you know, like all those human experiences we have in prayer, sometimes we can be hard on ourselves, but God's not looking at us like, oh my gosh, you know, there she goes again. Like, why can't she just focus in prayer? And actually, all those moments of distraction, all those human shortcomings are moments where we can turn them into offerings, little offerings of love for God, and just turn our attention back to him. And so yes. I thought that was like such a beautiful, just a beautiful thing to think about. And it's been so helpful for me in my day or my prayer. And I've become so much more aware of how distracted I get in prayer. I never thought I was someone who like got really distracted in prayer. But after hearing that, I've noticed myself. I'm like, I just start talking to God. And then all of a sudden I'm like looking at the floor, like just zoning out. And God's probably like, there she goes again. Like, hey. And then I remember and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. We were talking. And I'm like, okay, Lord, like, sorry, like I'm back. And so instead of like beating ourselves up for not being perfect, for not being saintly yet, like let's recognize our humanity, offer it to God and be like, okay, Lord, like I fell short this time, but I'm going to try again, right? Like I'm going to offer it back to you. I'm going to ask for your grace and I'm going to try again.
Absolutely. And just all of that is so important because I think sometimes we can take our critical narrative and apply that to God.
Totally.
As opposed to receiving him as the loving heavenly father that he is. And one of the things we also talk a lot about at Camp Waitiwa, but I just also in my own life, I reflect on this all the time, is the facets of our femininity and the way we receive and reflect God's love to the world. In the, I'm sure you've heard this a bunch, but, you know, first we're daughter, then we're sister, mm-hmm. then bride, mother. And really spending a lot of time on that daughter part mm. and receiving the gaze of the heavenly father.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, thanks so much, Annie, for just being willing to come on, share your story and inspiration and encouragement in dreaming big and dreaming of becoming saints. It's been such a beautiful conversation. So if you're listening and you have kids in that age range and you want to send them over to Annie, go do that. Or brothers or sisters or nieces or nephews. Definitely get connected with Camp Waitiwa. Thanks so much, Annie, for coming on today.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media. And give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.